I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. That certainly is a tough song to come up and to begin to speak after. Certainly makes me think of how beautiful heaven is going to be for certain. I appreciate the opportunity that we have. I appreciate everyone up and out today. That's a good sign. I heard some rumblings from the children that they are going to have a hard time staying awake today because Mr. Chapman kept them out too late, I heard. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. That's not the intent. It's not the intent, but I certainly do appreciate everyone who was able to be up and be out this morning. See what we're going to be talking about this morning. Always do your best. In the verse that I had asked to be read this morning in James chapter 1 at verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So we see right away that there is going to be much blessings to those who can endure temptations, those who can fight the good fight, those that are going to be able to make it until the end. And the only way to be able to do that, in my eyes, is that we always are going to have to put that focus to do our best at every given moment. I can't help but to think, as we are going through our studies that we have on Sunday morning in the adult class and on Wednesday evenings in the adult class, you know, the things that we're talking about and what's necessary if we want to have a home in heaven. And to have that home in heaven, we've got to be able to spend the time that is necessary to change our focus in life so that we are indeed looking to God and trying to serve Him. And I know how difficult that is day in and day out, because we tend as human specimens to start into a particular a way of life, which we do, and then we kind of assume that everything kind of comes along with it. And we do what we do and how we do it. And I know that sounds pretty inconsequential. You're saying, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it does, and if you can kind of follow me along on this. We begin to have great aspirations of who we want to be and what we want to do in anything that we do. Sometimes it is just as simple as a hobby that we have. We want to be the best at it, you know? And the things we do, mostly in life, are the things that we're good at, right? I mean, we like doing things we're good at because that shows success. We enjoy having achievements. Then we have something that goes long-term. Let's take a marriage, for example. We know we're going to be married. We know we want to stay married. We know we have all these aspirations of what our wedding and marriage should all be about. But then somewhere comes down the line where we're going through motions. And then one day, the conversation sparks up and says, well, but you're not doing this for me, or you're not doing that for me, or I'll like it if you would do this and that. And we start to think, whoa, what's happening here? What's happening? And we start going through motions. And I feel that sometimes in our Christian life, our spiritual life, we do the same things. We kind of let it kind of simmer on the back burner for a while. It's still going, it's still in our mind, but it's not the focus. We're not giving it our all. We're not giving it our best shot. We're not giving it the best of what we have to offer. And ultimately, if we think about God, we think about who He is and where He is and what He's all about, does He not deserve our best at every single moment? Yes, that's the answer. Yes, it is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 11, Paul writes to this group and says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And that's totally agreeable. "Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world of life or death, things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. So you see, the foundation has been laid. Christ is our foundation. And we are now the builders. And we are to build our place upon that foundation. And so consider that. That going forward, there will be those who will look back at you and your life and what you left behind. And so how are you building that today? And I look at myself and I say, well, I'm getting more on the older side of things. I'm not that young person I used to be when I would look at myself in a mirror and in a group of people. And so I still have a lot to accomplish in a shorter period of time. But for all of the younger, the men, the women, you begin, if you haven't already started, with all attention and focus and at your best of your ability, begin to build. And build strong. Build a foundation, or on top of that foundation, something that will be immovable. Something that will last a long time. What do they always say? We are going to make a big impact when we're gone. Not quite as much, hopefully, as it is when we're here. But what we leave behind can be impactful for people. Think about who you talk about and who was instrumental in your life. And that's what we are today. We look at eldership and we say, where's all the elders? Where are they? It's up to folks like you and you and you and you and all of these, the younger men. Don't think it's something that the older have to do. You are the ones to be working on that today. And if you're working on that today, guess what? The day will come. And there will be those that will look at you and they will say, that one is the elder quality. That's the one. And we won't have the situation that we see sometimes in the church today when elders are being forced in. And then people look and they say, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Live your life in a way that there will be no doubt. As when the apostle said, look upon those full seven men. That wasn't hard for that group. As it shouldn't be hard for a group to look for elders. It shouldn't be hard. You should stand out. But you've got to begin today to make that to stand out. And wives, ladies, you're a big part of that too. Because a man is only going to be as strong as that support that he's got from his wife. Albert Einstein. He said, many times a day I realize how much my own life is built on the labors of my fellow men and how earnestly I must exert myself in order to give in return as much as I have received. That can apply to us. Think about those who helped you. Think about those who have brought you to this place today. There were people that were instrumental in your life. And now what are you going to give back? Just as the Apostle Paul was stating, we all have to build. And they will be looking at it. And what impact is it going to leave behind? Well, look at all those who have gone on before us. Look at all those that fought against all of the different demanding issues across the ages, starting from the apostles and the disciples of Christ all the way up to today. And what they've stood for, what they've held the ground for, the banner that they've raised high no matter how much the forces were against them. Abraham Lincoln said, "I do the very best that I know how, the very best that I can, and I mean to keep on doing so until the end." Doing our best in every situation is not easy. It's not easy. And I know that because I have a hard time at it too. It's difficult for everyone to keep that up. And you know, it's funny because every year, this time, is the automotive biggest convention of the year, which is where I unfortunately have to head out to. And there will be hundreds of thousands of people there. And one of the most difficult things about it is you're up early for breakfast. You're having breakfast with people. You then stand in a booth all day long. And then you go to dinners. And you get up the next day and you do the same thing. And every time you're walking through the hotels or through the exposition hall, you're on. You have to be on. You can't be sad. You got to be on. On 24 hours a day. It wears you out. You get tired. It's hard work. But that's how we have to be every day. Every day we should be on. Every day we should be living a life so that somebody will look at you and say, there's something strange about this person. There's something peculiar about this person. There's something different about this person. And yes, it's because you have a love of God. And every day and every minute, you're trying to live your life the best you can for Him. Why should I do this? Why should I live my best? Well, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be today? Where do you want to be tomorrow? More importantly, where do you want to spend your eternity? That's the question. All three of them. Those are important questions. Where do you want to be today? Where do you want to be tomorrow? Where do you want to be in eternity? Well, you do your job. You do whatever you do to the best of your ability all the time. You will find that you will end up in the places you want to be. You know why? Because if you are doing the best of your ability every single day for the Lord, He will assure you because He will put you in the places He wants you to be. And that's truly where we want to be. Colossians chapter 1 at verse 13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He's done that for us. He has transformed us because we've made the decision at some point, we want this. We want to do our best. We want to serve God. And so in light of that, He has forgiven us our sins and He has conveyed us out of darkness into the light. And now that light needs to shine brightly for everyone else. We played a game last night. And there was fog going all over the place. It was dark. And people had flashlights. And that's the only way they could see. the beacon to drive their support, their teammate from one place to another was by a flashlight. That light was important. That light meant a lot to those people, I'm telling you, that were going through that fog. That light is important to everyone. You are the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We then are the light. He said, you are the light of the world. Don't hide it under a basket. Let it shine so that others can see, so that you can be a beacon to others to help them to find their way. You know, there were those who shined their light for us. Albert Einstein said there were so many that did for him prior to his life. You know, and always doing your best is not just a flip of the switch. It has to become a way of life. Because if we decide that, well, today I want to be on, okay, click it. Without practice, you'll never be perfect at it. The girls had a coach one time that told them, perfect practice makes perfect. And that's what you have to be. You can't just flip the switch. You can't just automatically say, hey, today I'm going to be on. Tomorrow I'm going to be off. I'm just going to walk through the motions today. You'll never reach the peak if you're not constantly working at it. So we must always have a positive mindset. A little bit, we'll take a smidgen from last week's lesson. I heard from one of our ladies, a sister, yesterday to tell me that she worked through last week's lesson and used that for her benefit last week. And what an encouraging thing that was to hear. There's no room for negativity. It'll only cause weakness. If we allow those negative thoughts into our mind, then it's going to be, we cause our own weakness. We cause our own demise. We cause our own struggles. I'll never forget the meeting that we had several years ago at a company. And we were trying to just do the SWOT assessments, you know, strengths and weaknesses, you know, all the threats, opportunities. At the end of all that, we went out to a nice dinner, and all of the heads were there, and ownership was there, and we get ready to sit down at the table, and one of the owners said, well, we had a good set of meetings today. We have found our enemy. Everybody's just waiting to hear it. He said, it's ourselves. It's ourselves. We're our own enemy, our own worst enemy. And I think sometimes we are that ourselves, because we will put negative thoughts into our head that will hold us back, will hold us down, won't allow us to achieve the things that we should achieve, the things that God has put forth for us. And so no matter what our task, we must tell ourselves to do our best. Whether it's during our work, whether we're just cleaning, whether it's helping others, no matter what it is, we should be doing our best. If I listened to my dad when I was a young fella learning to mow yards, I probably could have cut my mow time down in half. But no, I'd go out and I'd mow the yard and I'd finish, and I thought it was a pretty good job. He'd come out and he'd say, well, why are these high spots all the way down through the lines like this? I had a high line. So, well, I didn't know. It's because I wasn't doing my job. I wasn't doing my job at the best I could. So guess who had to go out and do it again? It wasn't my dad. It's me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We must never forget this. Most importantly, when we're doing the work of the Lord, we can do all things through Christ. In Philippians 2:14, it says, "And also do all without complaining and disputing." You know, that's that negative coming in. Do it with joy. Do it with love for the Father. Do it with a pleasant attitude. I know as a parent, it's difficult. It's difficult when you ask a child to do something and they give you 100 different reasons why, or they give you something negative first and then go on and do it. Just go and do it. And I'm a child of the Heavenly Father, of course. So I need to do it. Just take it as a good attitude and go do it. Whatever there is for me to do, just go do it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whom belong in glory and the dominion forever and ever." Look at that. It's what God has supplied. Do you think that God will supply us just, subpar talent in these areas? Certainly sometimes we're just subpar in things. But most things, don't you find that if you work at them, you get better at them? I know I do. And probably the same for you. The more we work at them, the better we'll get. And think about it, the ability which God supplies. Proverbs chapter 10 at verse 4, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent make rich." Proverbs 10:4, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." Ralph Waldo Emerson will chime in after those verses. And he says, "Make the most of yourself, for that is all there is of you." Make the most of yourself. That's all there is. Why not make the most of it? And again, he says, "Enthusiasm is one of the most powerful engines of success. When you do a thing, do it with all your might. Put your whole soul into it. Stamp it with your own personality. Be active, be energetic, be enthusiastic and faithful, and you will accomplish your object. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. Even the smallest, most insignificant things should be done to the best of our ability." Because we need to reach our full potential. God has delivered us in a way, and it's truly our duty, our reasonable service to Him to reach our full potential. Does this mean that His work will go undone if we choose not to? I don't believe that for one minute. He'll just get next person up to do this job. But we should reach our full potential. There's a story that I had read one time, quite some time ago, where a mother was telling her little boy what a Christian life should be and how to live it. And as she came to the end of it, The basic bottom line was, she said, "Endeavor to do so live that when you die, even the undertaker will be sorry." Think about that. Undertakers are happy when somebody dies. That's money for them. That's their business. So live a life to where even the undertaker will be sorry. Martin Luther is quoted saying, "Live as if Christ died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow." Live as though this is your last day. Live it to the fullest. Do the best you can do, as if tomorrow will be the last. Reaching our full potential starts today, making a mind to do your best always at every time. James 1, at 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Folks, temptation is going to always be part of our life. It really comes down to how prepared are we going to be when it strikes. The stronger we are, the more ready we are by allowing God's Word to live in us, to direct us, to be us, we will have a better chance to avoid falling to that temptation. Being our best always will keep us, as the Scriptures tell us, to have that sober mind, to have that clear thinking, to have that answer, that ready answer when temptation begins to knock. William Thackeray is quoted saying, "Successful people aren't born that way. They become successful by establishing the habit of doing things unsuccessful people don't like to do. The successful people don't always like these things themselves. They just get on and do them." In Hebrews chapter 11, there is a whole chapter of those who did things that, in some cases, I'm sure wasn't their first choice to do. But there's a whole list of faithful followers of God. And their name is now written in this book for us. All those before us, to show us how to give it our best, to show us how to serve our Lord, to show us that they have built upon that foundation. And look at the impact it has on us today. What we are building today is not just for us, but it's for others as well. God has given us so many blessings, and freely we've received them, and freely we must also share them. This morning, if there's anything we can do to help you along your path, we are wanting, desirous to assist you. If it's baptism you're thinking of, come to the front. We want to talk. We want to assist you with that. If it's other things in your life, obstacles, things that have grabbed hold of you that you're having a hard time shaking, let us help. Let us help. We can pray. We can encourage. We can assist. We can share time. Whatever your need is, we definitely want to assist. And before I close, and we sing the song that's been selected, I want to thank all those young children that stayed awake the whole time. So, hymn number 320, "Will Jesus Find Us Watching," is the song that's been selected. Those who have a need, please come to the front now as we stand and as we sing.